What's up, QAA listeners?
The fun and games have begun.
I found a way to connect to the internet. I'm sorry, boy.
Welcome, listener, to the 228th premium chapter of the QAA podcast, the Hearts of Iron episode. As always, we are your hosts, Jake Rakitansky,
Liv Agar,
Julian Fields,
and Travis View.
In July of this year, many were shocked after an official campaign Twitter account for Republican presidential hopeful Ron DeSantis retweeted a meme edit made by a supporter that depicted the candidate standing in front of a spinning Sonnenrad, a symbol originally created by Himmler for the SS and frequently used by neo-Nazis. The video in its entirety is a discordant array of meme references which are rather hard to decipher by themselves, with a Kate Bush song playing in the background, a depressed-looking Wojak in a dimly lit room reads news headlines talking about Trump's political failures. A door then opens behind him, and the room is filled with light as he looks in awe at DeSantis' glowing silhouette.
Oh, who could forget that beautiful silhouette?
What follows is a confusing compilation of footage of rockets launching off into space, B-roll of Miami residents hanging out at the beach, and headlines describing DeSantis successfully deporting immigrants and cracking down on LGBT rights. Without any context related to the bizarre internet subculture where this meme originated, it almost feels schizophrenic. And the icing on the cake of discordant references, the spinning Sonnenrad behind DeSantis at the end, makes it hard for me to imagine how anyone working on a real American politician's campaign could think this video would work as a means to convey DeSantis's supposed superiority to Trump.
Yeah, he like walked into like his son's sleepover and they were all just like vaping and playing video games that Ron didn't understand. And he's like, you guys do the comms. You guys handle yeah. it.
But there's one missing thread to this story that, in its own way, contextualizes what's going on here. Well, maybe besides explaining why the DeSantis campaign thought retweeting the video would be a good idea. And that thread relates to a real-time strategy game called Hearts of Iron 4, and the bizarre online internet subcultures that it has inspired. The reach of these subcultures has been surprisingly massive. And yet much of their influence is subtle enough that you only really notice if you know what you're looking for. And I happen to have logged over 1,500 hours into the game, according to Steam.
Holy shit.
Okay, Liv.
Wait a minute. This episode has become different.
Could we not have your episodes like just picked from your most played on Steam? Is that what you're doing? You're just going through the top five? How many hours have I poured into this?
I think I am just cursed to collect some form of esoteric knowledge
yeah.
about these like insane communities just in any of my spare time.
But how many of those were playing as the Fourth Reich?
Listen, I do not role play as Nazis. I do not support any Nazi LARPing.
Okay, we'll see.
Hearts of Iron 4, or HOI4 for short, was created by Paradox Interactive, a fairly small Swedish game studio known for making complex grand strategy games. The through line between many of their more popular history-related games is that they're very difficult to learn, typically taking tens if not hundreds of hours of playtime to understand the mechanics, and they have a very open sandbox structure, allowing the player to take control of various historically existing states or dynasties and push them in whatever direction they please.
I have to say, I have tried so many times because I'm a huge Civilization fan. Love it. And I have tried with Stellaris. I have tried with, what's the medieval one? The Kings?
Crusader Kings.
I don't know. There's a point at which I just go, no, I just can't get over the hump. Hopefully one day, because I do know they make some of the best strategy games like out there in terms of what they call like the 4X genre. But, oh man.
I remember playing Close Combat on the Macintosh because a demo of it came on the Macworld CD. This is how mm-hmm. you used to get demos. It would come in a magazine on a CD. Close Combat, little guys running all around. You put them behind hedges. You know, you shoot, there's little blood splatters. The graphics are nice.
Okay.
But this is not that game.
Wait, so the whole, that's not even a Paradox game? So the whole setup is just to say that there's this game I barely remember playing on
an
ancient platform.
Whoa.
And then the conclusion is I didn't play that. This is not that. Could you name other things that this episode is not about or games that this doesn't cover?
Yes.
Well, please, be my guest. What else is this not, Jake?
Yes, there was also a game on that same Macworld demo CD called Myth. Now, this was a real-time strategy game that used polygons very early on. I believe it was called Myth. I could be wrong. I might have the name of the game wrong, in which case this would make this sidebar even more pointless. But the point is to leave this in, don't edit it out.
We're not editing out. I want to add to this. Years ago, I downloaded some ROMs to try to play old Capcom arcade games. And I played Cadillacs and Dinosaurs, a game in which you beat up dinosaurs, humans, robots, and other stuff as you progress from left to right across the screen.
And you drive a Cadillac?
Well, the Cadillac can come for backup and kind of shoot. It's like a kind of like special.
Cool.
This is not that. That's you. That's you. That's you, Jake. This is not that. The problem with this is not that is that there are infinite things that every single thing is not. And you... my brain just ballooned. Like, I can see the universe. I am Dr. Manhattan because of what you're doing here.
Oh, my God. I'm quitting this show and I'm starting a new podcast called This Is Not That. And it's just gonna be all a shit like this. We'll pick a topic. Somebody will do a ton of research and work on it, and then within 5 minutes, I will derail it. At the end of the episode, after everybody's thoroughly disappointed, I'll just be like, "And this is not that." Tune in next week for another look.
Yeah, you know that is actually like that's next level though. Usually there's a tangent, but it comes from some even vaguely related thing. Instead, it's literally just, this is not that, which is, no better way to ruin poor Liv's episode early up. Of course we're keeping all of this in. This is magic, podcasting magic.
But no other Paradox property has developed a community quite like Hearts of Iron 4. In the game, the player starts out in the year 1936, 3 years before the beginning of World War II, and can choose to play as any state that historically existed at the time, and ride out an approximate simulation of the Second World War. Because it's a sandbox-style game, you can really do whatever you want. And while there's ample content for allied nations, you can also play some of the less savory countries and expand their power and influence beyond their historical peak. Maybe you roleplay as Stalin, initiating a great purge early enough to mitigate its effects before Germany's inevitable invasion. Or you could also, you know, tag into Nazi Germany and successfully carry out Hitler's vision of a united Europe under fascist military might.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The ability to do that in a game is morally complicated, to say the least.
Oh, really? It's why Civilization never had Hitler as a leader, but of course... He has been modded in, of course.
Well, yeah, of course.
Hitler, the most forbidden mod.
But this is seemingly baked into the structure of Paradox's sandbox-based game formula. The large degree of freedom you have to play the game however you want means that it will attract some fairly unsavory groups who can use the pretense that they're only ironically LARPing as whatever fascist government as a way of potentially spreading their ideology. This relationship only becomes more tenuous when considering the player-made mods for the game, which are a fairly important aspect of the HoI4 community. This is because Paradox has made it rather easy for any random person or a group of people to alter the game fairly intimately and put their modifications up on the Steam Workshop as well as other forums for others to download. The larger of these mods, which can have more than 100 people regularly working on them, have more actual content in them than the base game itself by a fairly large magnitude, which is actually something Paradox intended. It's a much smarter business move to invest working hours, which are actually paid for by the company, into developing the game engine itself, and give modders a great deal of flexibility for them to make whatever type of content they want. The thousands, if not likely more, hours that go into these grandiose mods, driven by the passion of their creators, goes unbilled by Paradox. And they also, like, a lot of the times put in content that modders think of, because it's, like, their game property, so they can steal it if they want to.
Oh yeah, it's theirs, of course. Come work for free.
Well, much of their player base still heavily relies on this sort of labor for their enjoyment of the game. This creates some obvious problems, though, and HoI4's moddability has led to a small cottage industry of far-right mods, which simulate various war crimes not included in the game, such as the Holocaust, so that online fascist weirdos can play out their fantasy of Nazi global domination in greater detail.
Well, doesn't this create a sort of paradox between the people who are like, it was not 6 million, and like the people who are like, it was 6 million, and I'm doing it.
And more.
Yeah. Can you get those numbers up in the game? Jesus.
Presumably you have people who are like, it wasn't 6 million, but I'm going to play it out like it was.
I'm living your fantasy, Libs.
Julian is like Jim Caviezel carrying around a copy of Mein Kampf on his like television sets. But in Julian's case, he's just carrying around like a Hitler mod for Hearts of Iron in his back pocket.
Yeah, and like a flop on like a floppy disk?
Like a floppy disk, yeah. Just be basically being like, hey, yeah, like I see you are, you know, very affected. You had family pass away in the Holocaust. Have you ever tried this mod?
That's me. I'm listening to my Walkman. What else, old man?
Yet even mods not explicitly created for the purpose of disseminating fascist propaganda can get easily sucked up into that vortex. This has been the case numerous times with some of the incredibly elaborate alternative history mods for the game, which explore fictional political scenarios that have diverged from real history at some crucial moment. Even when the mod creators fairly explicitly wish to depict authoritarian governments in a negative light, the fictional ideologies they come up with to satirize fascism end up being LARPed as anyways. And this is especially so because, like, the ideologies don't actually exist, so there's, like, a further kind of degree of separation.
Mm.
I've already talked about the influence of one of them on Premium Episode 186. In short, there's a fairly large alternative history mod called Kaiserreich, which explores a political scenario where Germany wins the First World War. But this was not enough alternate history for some people. Another mod, called Führerreich, takes place in an alternate history universe of what someone from the Kaiserreich universe would imagine happened if Germany had lost World War I.
Yeah, because, I mean, you kind of have to lose World War I and have the recession and have the Treaty of Versailles, and Hitler has to have, like, been mustard gassed and laying in the hospital blind. So there's a lot of things that kind of rely on Kaiserreich not existing to have the Fourth Reich become what it did.
The results of this alternate history mod are a weirdly malformed version of the political situation in 1936, with a bizarre syncretic paganist authoritarian state popping up in Germany under the fictionalized Falkist ideology, basically Nazism but not genocidal. Which is an obvious problem. The Valkyst flag and insignia used for the mod would pop up as a LARP within the online game Roblox, as a means by certain fascist players to recruit young children to the far right. Hundreds of children were seemingly recruited into the fictionalized American Valkyst Party, simulated on various Roblox servers and subsequently radicalized.
Look, Ma, I'm a cube Nazi. I'm a little cube man, and I'm Hitler.
Yeah, you're a kid telling their mom they joined the Valkyst Party. It's like, well, go. I don't know what that means, sweetie, but that's great.
That's fine. Sounds like Viking or something.
They're like, we're having dinner around the table. Tell your friends that you can join them in an hour and a half.
But our main story, concerning the bizarre Ron DeSantis Sonnenrad, takes us to what's likely the most elaborately made alternate history mod in the game, which has spanned more than 6 years of development, faced an attempted coup of the game by Spanish fascists, doxing and harassment of head developers for its anti-fascist themes, and most relevant to this episode, has accidentally spawned a fairly influential online esoteric fascist meme. And what I'm talking about is called The New Order, and it takes place in a universe where the Nazis won World War II. The primary themes of the mod concern, well, how bad that would be. It's fairly hard to make a mod like this without it being used as a propaganda tool for the far right. If you can LARP as Nazis in a game, the Nazis will come and play it.
Yeah, people are going to edit that last part of the sentence, which is comma, which was bad. And they change it to comma, which was good.
Right. But one of the reasons why I think the New Order actually did a good job trying to prevent this is that they've manually coded out basically all the sandbox aspects of the game and turned it into more of an interactive visual novel with a great degree of storytelling and railroaded plot lines. The Nazis are, in almost every path you decide to push them towards, doomed to fail. And the user is made to see the real effects that these terrible governments have on people through written events as the Nazi regime collapses under its own weight.
Engaging God mode.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can play as, like, Goering, for instance, and for some reason he's a part of the militarist faction, and, like, it's coded in so that like, inevitably collapses. And then there are mods that are, like, conquer the whole world as Goering. Make all of these, like, nuclear, mutually assured destruction events, like, not go away. You know, you have these sort of things, so.
I love the idea that you're, like, trying to play the game properly, and then your, like, main hero unit just keeps going off to look for Atlantis.
Yeah.
It's like, would you like to name this character? It's like Richard E. Byrd.
It reminds me a bit of some games have anti-piracy features that makes the player lose if they know it was like downloaded through a torrent or some shit. It's like that,
yes.
Except the Nazis always lose.
Yeah, this was not enough to stop some of the contents of the mod from being used as a political tool by the right. In particular, we have to turn to Russia, or what used to be Russia, and is, at the start of the mod in 1962, controlled by various splinter groups, unable to potentially unify Russia by force or diplomacy as a result of continual Luftwaffe bombing raids launched from the vast swaths of the western portion of the country occupied by the Nazis. An early event of the mod, a massive destructive German civil war which follows Hitler's death, sees these bombing raids end and allows one of the playable Russian splinter groups to unify the country over the decade or so of the game's full playtime. One of the most insane bandit states that has carved out a small amount of territory in the bombed-out Russian wasteland is called the Aryan Brotherhood, who are a cult of Slavic Nazis that have used the destabilization caused by the German bombing raids to take control of a small swath of territory centered around the Russian city of Perm and terrorize the local population. And they are quite the LARPers, even picking up German names and renaming the city of Perm to its German stylings of Permheim, imagining that through this cultural assimilation, members of the cult may Aryanize themselves.
Okay.
The events you receive while playing the Bandit State lay on pretty thick that the Brotherhood are incompetent morons with an irrational and contradictory ideology, who create nothing but death and misery wherever they go. If you manage to play as the country and get it large enough, you can actually make contact with the Nazi government, who promptly ignores you and then tells you to stop sending them messages. Although the leader of the cult decides their letters have actually been intercepted by Jews, and continues trying to create an alliance with them. Yet it isn't the bizarre Slavic LARPing Nazis that have captured the imagination of online right-wing weirdos. Instead, it's a growing secret faction within the cult, who can potentially take over if it grows large enough, who are not German-loving Nazis, but instead Slavic pagan fascists. This group, led by a fictionalized version of neo-pagan philosopher Valery Yemelyanov, can expel the German LARPers if they succeed in their power struggle and name Valery High Priest of Hyperborea and all of the Rus. This group argues that Slavs are actually the true Aryan people and came to this earth as aliens thousands of years ago, crashing down originally in Palestine. The Germans, according to Valery, are actually subhumans who originally came about in Asia, a sort of direct reversal of Nazi racial theories. And the cult argues that the Nazi government is actually secretly controlled by the Jews.
Oh, yeah.
However absurd you may think this is, and you'd be right, this was, minus the alien stuff, the actual opinions of the historical Valery Yemelyanov, who also murdered his wife with an axe.
Okay.
Most, if not all, Slavic pagan fascist stuff going on in the fictional state of Hyperborea is derived from things that real fascists actually believe. Hyperborea, the name given to their state, was originally an ancient Greek myth about a utopia that existed beyond the northern boreal winds, free of strife and suffering and filled with giants who worshipped the god Apollo and lived in harmony with nature. It's used by some Slavic fascists as a creation myth of sorts, with them imagining that Hyperborea is actually based on Greek interactions with a super race of early pagan Aryans, who are most purely represented by modern-day Slavs. So, you know, you have the German racial stuff about how we're the original Aryans and we conquered all of these places, but instead it's the Russians.
Yeah. The Germans, like, LARPing as Scandinavians, basically, and then the Russians saying, actually, it's us. It's like, it's moving further south. Hyperborea, like, the most northern point is becoming less and less tangible.
There's a lot of wacky fascistic ideologies in the New Order mod, which is generally in line with how insane actual fascists generally are. But for some reason, it was this fairly rare esoteric cult, which usually ends up destroying itself rather quickly, barring skilled player intervention, that most strongly caught the eye of a certain sect of online far-right propagandists. This group already used absurdity and irony as a shield to spread their views as far as possible. So when they discovered the notion of Hyperborea, exclusively through its representation in the New Order Hoi 4 mod, they jumped on it as a medium to spread their ideas. In the memes based on this fictional cult made by this group, Hyperborea generally serves as a dog whistle of sorts to signify, in a semi-ironic way, their right-wing ideology. They oftentimes directly include both the Slavic pagan-style music included in the mod to represent Hyperborea, as well as the fictionalized images of this utopia used in the mod, which are made by a weird Russian pagan esotericist in the 90s. This is the milieu that the meme format retweeted by Ron DeSantis came out of.
Nice, Ron. You're killing it out there. Well, I don't know why his popularity is already cratering and Trump has already moved to basically just run in the general in advance, like not even pay attention to the primary. Very strange.
Ron has came out for Slavic fascism and paganism.
Yeah. I mean, it would be like if Trump just ran on like the Groiper, like if he just like integrated the Pepe into like his newsletters.
Well, in the retweeted video, the sad doomer is led out to a world where Ron DeSantis is president. Originally, they would be brought into the utopic world of Hyperborea, which stood in as a signifier for the end of modern quote-unquote degeneracy. Now, unfortunately, the insanity of these edits can only possibly transfer to a visual medium, which is one of the reasons that despite how both insane and influential this milieu of video editors has been, I've since now been reluctant to mention it on QAA.
Yeah, please keep this kind of stuff away. Let's not do, like, for example, like a whole episode about this kind of stuff.
But here is, for the hosts, a quintessential example of one of the early versions of these edits.
I am just a small frog, and I want to live in Skyrim. I am the successor of the beautiful Nazis, except I never leave my bedroom.
The content of the video, over the song Little Dark Age by MGMT, depicts a very sad Pepe who is looking at images showing COVID lockdowns, homosexuality being accepted, drag queens reading to children, etc. And, you know, he has the noose over his neck. He's about to end his life. He's so sad.
Yeah.
If it gets cold enough, there's no homosexuality. If we could just live in, like, some wooden cabins up north.
He then notices a light and looks in awe as he's brought into the world of Hyperborea, represented by images, again, used in the TNO mod.
Okay, Travis has his face, like, in his palm. He is in full despair.
I don't know. I think that if Hyperborea was real, they would execute Pepe's for degeneracy. It's like you fantasize yeah. being a little illustrated frog. You gotta go.
Yes, absolutely. Wait, what do you propose to do in our society? You want to, what is this, make memes? You want to put MGMT songs to the Pepe? Okay, up on the gallows with you.
Meanwhile, the French are just like, we want the legs. We just want the legs of the frog.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
They are crispy and buttery and very delicious delicacy en France. Your little frog is traveling through all sorts of made-up fiction, and we just want to eat the legs.
Just a diagram of Jake's brain, and it's like a picture of a frog at the center, and then he's like, knowledge about frogs, 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 eaten by the French, legs, bring up the legs.
You know what this doesn't remind me of?
Yeah, how the French eat frog legs. This is not that.
Another fairly influential right-wing editing style that came out of what its creators call Hyperborea Wave is what are called schizo edits. These videos are usually fast-paced, containing poppy music, which generally goes in direct conflict with the video editor's ideology, fantastical far-right imagery that leans towards the more esoteric, and text which tries to convert the viewer to the video editor's belief system, sometimes by beckoning them to return to Hyperborea. While again, this is only really visual, here's an example for the hosts.
Okay, Jesus so Christ.
The Q map was in there.
Yeah, we got Minecraft screenshots in
Gang
there.
Gang stalking reference. I saw some David D's art.
Yeah, we got a still from Dark City. Great movie.
Okay.
Great movie, misappropriated.
Yeah.
There's a lot of incoherent shit that goes on in these.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like it says, like, schizo, take your meds. Like, it's very much like that type of...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, yes, everything's contradicting each other. And like, I'm crazy, but I'm like a crazy Nazi. It's kind of fun.
And, you know, like young people kind of begin to like it, or it began to gain popularity because it's just ridiculous and absurd and
yes,
random. And people think that's funny.
Yes. It's like the Gex band or whatever. It's mm-hmm. so fucking high intensity and overwhelming that people are like, wow, this matches my internal feeling.
Julian, are you talking about 10,000 Gex or 100, whatever they're called? Are we referencing this? Because I actually have been listening to some of that music.
Yeah, it sounds like you have. You know their name. So.
And I kind of like it, I gotta say. I sort of appreciate the chaos.
Yeah. Yeah, you like them. Yeah. How many Gex? How many Gex, Jake?
10,000. I played it for some friends of mine. I said, what do you think? Am I crazy or is this kind of good? And the response I got back from my fellow 40-year-olds was like, I feel like I'm having a seizure listening to this.
It was, in fact, 100 Gex.
100 Gex. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a couple good tracks. They got a couple good tracks.
Fellow kids, I love your Gex. There are 10,000 of them. Dope stuff, children's.
The proliferation of these schizo hyperborea edits on the WorkSafe GIF board on 4chan, which is the only one that can host high quality videos, saw a surprising amount of hyperborea content become fairly viral, such as the Gautier lore meme, a compilation of hyperborea and Nazi going to the moon kind of style of images shown in rapid succession behind a bass boosted trap remix of Gautier's Somebody That I Used to Know.
Wow, now there's a blast from the past. That's a song I used to know.
Somebody That I Used to Know, Hitler. Yeah.
You didn't have to cut me off, Hitler. Yeah, why'd I have to take my own life in your bunker while we lost? You didn't have to stoop so low.
You didn't have to try to go for Stalingrad. You didn't have to cross the Great Barren Wasteland.
You didn't have to convince your wife to commit suicide with you. She could have taken her own life and lived maybe happily, but probably not. So guess you'll both die in the bunker and be modded into a game.
We're going to get sued by Gotcha. I think he's like, is he Belgian or like from the Netherlands or something?
One of those weird countries.
I'll tell you what he is. Rich from that song.
Okay.
This format, which again explicitly references images of Hyperborea derived from the Hoi 4 mod and got its start on 4chan, received at least tens of millions of views across the various platforms that it was remixed on.
Oh, here we go. I'm so excited to hear this. You didn't have to cut me off.
Okay. They brought the Techno Viking in on that one.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, and there's only one person on this Skype call that can help me decipher, Liv, that is a Playboi Carti song that is mixed in with Somebody That I Used to Know, correct?
The bass is Woke Up Like This by Carti.
Yeah, Woke Up Like This. Yes. Awesome. This is awesome.
Oh, no.
Such good content being created. Such good music. Such good games.
Yeah. The remix is great. It's very catchy. The editors, they have an eye for something. Like some aesthetic Zoomer thing that makes these things very popular. Mm-hmm. Listen, the uniforms are just like, they're well put together, okay? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's looking good. I mean, you know who designed them? It's this guy, you know, Hugo Boss. And Playboi Carti, he's the boss of hip-hop.
In a way that's likely similar to the joy that poll members got from tricking normies into believing in QAnon, the Pepes responsible for making this meme surely found it funny that their esoteric fascist Hyperborea meme was being spread by so many unaware of the context of its creation. The dizzying fast-paced style of the videos, which makes it hard to decipher the meaning of an image before you're introduced to the next one, is certainly related to their attempts to broadcast as many dog whistles as possible without the normies picking up on it. Everything, it seems, but the odd video retweeted by DeSantis is a reference to the video editing style of this milieu, even down to the primary cause of controversy, the spinning sonoran behind DeSantis at the end of the video. And, it appears, none of it would have happened without a player-made mod for a World War II military simulation game.
Yeah, this reminds me of, like, how that World of Tanks, or I think it's that one, like, they keep leaking, like, military documents over and over on their Discord. Like, an argument where it's like, nah, that tank doesn't work that way, you idiot. Like, here's the actual document that I shouldn't have.
Yeah, that's, like, maybe the one, like, war game that's more influential than Hearts of Iron 4.
Yeah.
The reason for this influence, I can't quite really be sure of. The through line, I think, of any moment where Hoi 4 becomes some relevant political object derives from its ability to give people excuses for being able to LARP as certain right-wing political actors. And even if the game creators make these political actors as obviously stupid and incompetent as possible, as the New Order mod creators attempted, members of the right will still be captivated by the possibility of role-playing as a fascist state. But this is not the only moment in which the influence of Hearts of Iron 4 has bled into real-life politics. The second part of this episode is about what happens when you use Hoi 4 and all the sandbox alternate history scenarios it allows you to explore to actually LARP yourself into being involved in a real war. Grisha Putin, the online username of a 17-year-old Russian kid that lives in St. Petersburg, got his start in Hoi 4 through participating in the fairly large competitive multiplayer community. While you can play the game in single player, against AI, you can also play against other people. And hordes of sweaty young men have flocked to various Discord servers since the game's release to flex their strategic abilities against each other. Given how many important states are involved in World War II, a full multiplayer lobby requires at least a dozen or so people, who are stuck in voice chats for hours at a time with others, trying to coordinate their forces. This, as it turns out, is great for content, with shouting matches between teammates and epic comebacks against militarily superior foes, leading to thousands of live viewers watching these matches live on places like Twitch and later on YouTube. And Grisha was one of the more skilled members of the Hoi 4 multiplayer community, making himself known by playing well and also being memorable as an edgy, impulsive teen.
The only type of personality that now rises to the top. Incredible.
Yeah. He would start streaming his own POV in these games to Twitch in November of 2020, so when he was about 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Grisha has a fairly typical personality of a very competitive Hoi 4 multiplayer player. He is socially awkward, rather fond of playing things up for content, and certainly not afraid to LARP as the state he's playing as. And one thing unique about him that made him a fun novelty for the community is that he's very, very Russian. His politics in this early streaming period are incoherent, which makes sense given that at this point he's around a 15-year-old edgy teenager.
And now they're super coherent because he's 17.
Well, there's a reason they start getting more coherent, but it's not
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
His fairly inflammatory political comments during streams were played up to a degree that people could write them off as irony. And this is, in general, a rather large problem in essentially any part of the Hoi 4 community, as right-wing messaging is written off as jokes of people who are just a little bit too enthusiastic about military sims. For Grisha, it appears this generally manifested in a bizarre nostalgia for the Soviets, with him LARPing in an absurd comedic way, as the Soviet Union in games, and wearing elaborate Soviet military gear. But Grisha is not a communist. He would also flirt, oftentimes in a seemingly ironic or jokey way, with Russian nationalism and support for the current Russian government. And yeah, his last name isn't Putin, obviously. He just likes the guy. That's where Grisha Putin comes from.
Ah, yes. The Soviet Union loves Putin, that's for sure. He's such a representative.
If you're confused why someone likes Putin and Stalin, it isn't all too crazy among Russian national chauvinists. They feel nostalgia for the Soviet Union because it was a political bloc led from Moscow, whose influence stretched into Germany, and want an explicitly nationalistic government to recreate this influence. Grisha would gain name recognition in the Hoi 4 community in February of 2021, after winning a show match against another acclaimed Hoi 4 gamer named Dankus Mimikus.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Who is an adult? The name Dankus Mimikus is no excuse. That's an adult.
Oh.
Which was broadcasted by one of the larger Hoi 4 content creators. This show match received thousands of concurrent viewers on Twitch and then hundreds of thousands of views on YouTube. But almost immediately following much of the Hoi 4 multiplayer community learning of Grisha in this 1v1, he would get himself into a controversy related to using Hoi 4 to LARP a little bit too hard. Grisha has always been fairly dedicated to cosplaying, with various historical military uniforms on his streams. Generally, this was an extension of the LARP, playing as a country and wearing their military uniform, while he, in a played-up ironic manner, pretended to be very enthusiastic about his allegiance to this country. In February of 2021, Grisha was temporarily banned on Twitch after he cosplayed as Hitler in a Hoi 4 game where he's playing as Germany.
Wait, he was dressed as Hitler?
Apparently.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, even the, you know, the British royal family has trouble with this, so.
Upon losing the match, he then pretended to shoot himself in the face with a fake Mauser.
Okay, wow. He had a Mauser on hand to do that one. Great.
Well, he likes the military costume stuff. Of course, he's got the fake gun. And in his defense, he was 14 at the time, so, you know.
Yeah, mommy shouldn't be buying child these kinds of things. Mom, I want a fake Mauser. Mom, I want a Hitler costume. At that point, you go, no, son, I'm sorry.
Now, there's no clip of this that I can find, mind you, so I'm not sure how elaborate this sort of thing actually got. But given his other stuff, I'm sure he went all out. Over the span of that year, larger streamers in the community would begin distancing themselves from him as a result of these kind of edgier cosplays he was doing, and LARPs in general. As an example, in August, one Twitter user tags the Hoi 4 influencer Tommy K, who covered Grisha's previously mentioned 1v1, to defend Grisha's cosplays. While I'm not exactly sure which of his cosplays sparked this discussion, it was likely German-related. The Twitter user, confronting Tommy K, says,
I'm not the kind of guy to throw myself on Twitter, but watching Grisha Putin having to defend his personal and moral values over something as simple as cosplay broke my heart. Talking about being an alpha male, but throwing him under the bus like that? Pfft.
To which Tommy K replies,
imagine using your brain for just once in your life, Jesus Christ, man.
And Grisha, as it turns out, was not able to take the slow distancing from these larger influencers particularly well, whom he surely looked up to and wished to emulate. On one stream in October of 2021, Grisha put on Joker makeup and framed his webcam behind a scene from the 2019 Joker film. In the top left of the frame was a screenshot of a message telling Grisha that Tommy K, the previously mentioned big streamer, quote, said he doesn't want you in the games anymore.
Oh no.
And Grisha was, for the most part, swept under the rug by the community in the later part of 2021. His stream numbers began to dwindle from an average of 350 or so when he was more favored in the community to less than 200. That is, until Russia's full-fledged invasion of Ukraine a few months later in February of 2022. A day or so before the outbreak of the war, as tensions began to rise in the eastern part of Ukraine, Grisha uploaded a video on YouTube titled How to Conquer Ukraine's Russia in Hoi 4 Guide. In the video, he's playing a Hearts of Iron 4 mod that's meant to simulate the world in the year 2000, and he's playing as Russia, obviously, declaring war on Ukraine.
Hello everyone, it's me, Grisha, and today I will show you how to invade Ukraine in 2022. A special version of this video in Russian will be sent to Vladimir Putin for obvious reasons. Let's start with the... And we will take them as the prisoners of war, and we can use them later for some stuff. Let's run the simulation quickly and check if I was right or wrong. All the invasions are going in. Whatever forces can be force attacked. You can micro a little bit by yourself here and there, just so it would be easier. Take Ukraine. You gotta connect with the Kiev group so they don't starve to death. And yeah, it's 29th of January, and we have successfully taken whole Ukraine in 1 week. Hope you like the guide. Yeah, good luck.
Which is exactly what happened in real life, of course.
Yeah, everything worked out in a week, and it was great. Oh my god.
What guide is he presenting? I just saw like a sped up video that looks like a bunch of ants running around a hand-drawn map. I mean, where's the guide?
Totally insane. This is, your brain has to be on so much energy drink style substance to understand what the fuck is happening here.
I'm sure everyone who watches that watches videos on like 2 or 3 times speed. Like, none of my 1.5. This is very textbook kind of Grisha political trolling. When he mentions Russia could use Ukrainian POWs for stuff, an image of Stalin and gulags is overlaid on the screen, for instance. Other content Grisha put out early in the war would be similarly edgy and explicitly on the side of Russia. His streams, which would continue to hemorrhage viewers, would oftentimes have titles ending with Z, the Russian insignia used by troops in Ukraine to identify each other. Members of various Hoi 4 multiplayer communities were certainly not happy with Grisha's explicit turn towards being pro-Russia, many later remarking that his ironic pro-Russian stance previously to the war was generally written off as him being an edgy teenager who was just LARPing, but it could be written off no longer. But it wasn't only obscure video game subreddits that would notice him. There's some rather bizarre quality about Hearts of Iron 4 in terms of its capacity to amplify the political takes of people within the community, and the more insane the takes, the more this seems to be the case. While there isn't a digital archival record of every European newspaper that Grisha is mentioned in, it seems like the first one is from the Swedish paper SvD, which is fairly large, having more than 150,000 copies in circulation, and featured Grisha's digital escapades on the 6th page of their April 2nd, 2021 edition. The central point of the piece, it appears, was to bring attention to the fact that YouTube is still providing ad revenue for pro-Russian media sources.
Behind the mouse and keyboard sits 15-year-old Grisha Samoyuk from St. Petersburg. When he's not in school, he makes gaming videos on YouTube and live streams his gaming on the site Twitch. The fact that the games are about war and military strategy has made his channels a frequently used forum for discussing the war in Ukraine. The debate rages in the comment section on YouTube and in the chat on Twitch. Most people challenge Russia's war. Grisha Samoyuk answers a viewer's questions patiently. Quote, it's hilarious that the most genuine information and opinion coming out of this mess is a young lad who plays video games on Twitch. All my respect to Grisha, says one comment. The 15-year-old has also spoken on the situation in Ukraine on his YouTube channel, but he refuses to answer some of SvD's questions, such as whether he feels like he can express his opinion on the war freely, and how he views the anti-war demonstrations in Russia. The money from subscriptions, donations, and ads has previously brought Grisha around 10,000 crowns, just under 1,000 euro, a week. But now the Amazon-owned site no longer sends any money to Russia with regard to sanctions. Quote, it doesn't matter that much. I'm 15 years old and have no bills to pay or a family to provide for, but YouTube sent me money a few days ago. YouTube clarifies its position in an email to SvD. Russian YouTubers can no longer make any money from Russian viewers, but they can still be paid for viewers in other countries.
The news article subtly overemphasizes Grisha's actual online presence, especially in relation to the war. While his YouTube channel does have a total of 6 million video views, a lot of these are from short meme videos he made before the war started, which are unrelated to Russia, and his subscriber and view gains seem to have actually dipped following the start of the war. In May of 2022, his inflammatory comments got enough attention that he participated in a debate with Ukrainian Twitch streamer Topsin. In it, Grisha appears to be a pretty standard pro-Putin Russian chauvinist. Early on, he talks about how his only critique of Putin is that he does not execute people found guilty of corruption. But the most noteworthy part of the discussion, which received a moderate degree of virality, came when the two were discussing the massacre committed by Russian soldiers in Bucha, which Grisha was skeptical happened. The debate is then interrupted by Grisha's mother.
Oh my god.
The European countries...
What motive? What motive would they have defending Nazis?
Why the... Mom. Okay.
What did you say about this Bucha? It's a movie. It's a movie making in 2 days after the Russian army go away.
No,
it's
I'm
a fucking
sorry.
Movie.
No, I'm sorry. You're just
for
wrong.
For Eastern propaganda.
You have an ability to go there. Do you want to go there and see?
I can't.
Okay, so mommy steps in and doubles down on the Russian shit. That is so fucking funny. She's in like her bathroom. What the fuck? Oh my god. I thought she'd be like, why are you fucking doing this, son? This is a waste of your damn time. Instead, she's like, oh, what the buka? This is a movie.
It's so funny because like most parents would step in and be like, who are you talking to? What are they saying? What is that? Are you making a video? Or trying to understand the nature of what event is taking place. But she just steps in and she's like, listen, you motherfuckers.
Dude, she's like, this is the meme of like, are you winning, son? are you winning your debate, son?
Grisha, it seems, is quite the mama's boy, and his mother is so passionate about denying Russian war crimes that she could not help remaining a spectator in her then 15 or 16-year-old boy's virtual debate on the subject. According to a more recent interview of Grisha from the German news channel ZDF, Grisha never knew his father, although he himself denied this in a YouTube comment about it. And he's quite close with his mom, whom he lives with in St. Petersburg. And she's appeared, like, quite a few times on his stream, even before the war started. One example being him instructing her how to play Hearts of Iron 4 and, like, invade Finland as Russia.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Grisha is quite active on Discord, and I managed to ask him a couple questions, the rest of which I'll go over later. But in relation to his mother, he said,
she is very supportive of me and all of the stuff I do online. That's why you can see her often on stream. She raised me as a patriot. I would say I influenced her more than she did me in regards to political views. Yeah, this is a real, like, Ron and Jim Watkins situation. Who pilled who?
Who pilled who, yeah.
Yeah, who's listening to their teenager, or their teenage son, of all people, about your political views? You're supposed to be the one to tell them that, you know, they're dreamers, and it's never gonna happen like that.
I'm getting real Dostoevsky vibes, though. My little Grisha, you're so smart and so special.
But all of this completely pales in comparison to what would happen in late February of 2023, when he announced he would be doing a cosplay stream of Hearts of Iron 4 from the headquarters of the notorious Russian mercenary Wagner Group.
Oh boy. Oh, considering all the stuff that's happened since, God, history is such a stupid thing. What a stupid fuck history is.
Yep. It is that Wagner, the one that was led by Prigozhin, that had the whole attempted coup against Putin that failed, all that stuff.
Yeah, Prigozhin still alive. That plane never blew up. And he will return shortly to bring Mother Russia to victory.
Alive in our hearts.
Yeah.
In the stream, which happened on the Russian site VKontakte, Grisha would be fully decked out in Russian military gear, yes, including even a helmet, with the Z patch visibly displayed on his arm. He appears to be streaming from a fairly empty office building, which visibly has Wagner insignia plastered on the windows behind him.
So they invited him over, and they're like, you know what? We know what this is. This is like to invite a Ukrainian drone strike and only sacrifice a Twitch streamer.
In one of the streams for Wagner, he was playing an alternate history mod for Horde 4, meant to take place in an alternate timeline where America collapses into a civil war in the year 2022. The central schism in this fictional universe is between an America recovering from a civil war and a resurgent right-wing nationalistic Russia. Grisha, of course, played Russia, expanding to recreate the borders of the Soviet Union and successfully invading Ukraine to eclipse the power of the now broken United States. Here's a clip from the stream following Ukraine's capitulation, where Grisha reads an event coded in by the modders, which announced that Russian troops destroyed monuments of far-right Ukrainian nationalist Stepan Bandera in Ukrainian-occupied territory.
You'd think if he was coherent that Grisha would be a fan of Bandera, but there's honestly like everything around Nazi ideology at that point in that region is so fucking twisted.
Yeah, for Russians, the word in this nationalist context, the word Nazi is kind of like a foreign threat, mm-hmm. more so. So you can have this like far-right, you can even mm-hmm. like even have like pro-Hitler groups, but then they're not, by, you know, the kind of chauvinistic line, considered Nazis because they're defending Russia as opposed to attacking them.
Yes! Hurrah!
Oh boy.
Зи, зи, зи! Это Z, это победа, это V! Своих, блядь, не бросаем! Nazi pigs don't deserve to be remembered!
Is that like Russian rap behind?
It's very possible.
Okay. Yeah, he is fully clothed as if he were a soldier. There is a big Z behind him on the wall.
Crazy enough, Grisha was sent an advanced copy of this mod, as it hasn't officially been released and is still being worked on, in order for him to play it and increase the hype surrounding it. So you have this like kind of state or like semi-state propaganda machine collaborating with a video game mod creation. It's just rather
my
not
brain,
think about it.
My brain hurts.
Yeah, you know what? Even Nazis have to give out early access keys, you know?
Mr. Putin, we have news for you from various NexusMods.com communities that we have infiltrated.
Mr. Putin, you must make sure to delete all of the previous files or the mod files will overlap and your game will not launch. Okay, you must protect your game from not launching. Many of our soldiers are dealing with what we call black screen.
Okay, today we have a few mods for you to review, Mr. Putin. We've got Invasion of Ukraine. We've got Full Nudes, Perfect Eyes, Perfect Lips.
Mr. Putin, please, sir, this is of the utmost importance. Make sure to upgrade your graphic card drivers before you install the mod. Otherwise, if you are not up to date on most current drivers, mod will not work.
Guy getting shot in the back of the head because he can't get a smooth 60.
You idiot, I am trying to play this mod 120 frames per second. You are giving me 48. It's not good enough. Overclock.
Oh, we live in hell.
Yeah.
This is like my favorite kind of thing to riff on, because like one of the few things that I actually have, you know, innate knowledge on is mods not working, you know, my own lack of, you know, computer skills. So I could just riff on this for hours if everybody yeah. wants to.
Plus, if you had actually any knowledge of your, you know, ancestry, you could be a Russian chauvinist other than the issue of, you know, being Jewish.
Well, I am part Russian. Did you know this?
I do. That's why I'm saying it.
But actually, the part of Russia that I'm from is now Ukraine. So I'm actually Ukrainian, actually.
Yeah, you contain so many things. If I may, you are Cadillacs and dinosaurs.
I'm part dinosaur.
A little bit of both. A little bit Cadillac, a little bit dinosaur.
Yeah, I'm part Littlefoot.
Okay. The child? In the movie?
No. From, you know, Land Before Time. He's like the lead dino.
It's a child.
Nah, he's a grown. No. He's fine. He's, you know.
Also part Italian?
Yeah.
It's me, Littlefoot.
Littlefoot. That's what we call him.
This is what happens in Jake's brain. Like, he'll get two references. He'll watch too much Sopranos. He'll watch Land Before Time. And suddenly we have fucking Italian dinosaurs.
Littlefoot, we got a big problem. Your friend Ducky's talking to the feds.
Littlefoot, we've got a big problem.
Littlefoot, we've got a big problem. Ducky's been talking to the feds, and it's up to you to get it clipped. I'm gonna hand you this prehistoric branch. You know what to do with it.
Oh my God, Ducky's been talking to the feds. Oh God, this is the best episode we've ever recorded.
Paradox Interactive was, of course, rather not fond of their game being used as a Russian propaganda tool. Their PR manager even tried to get the event shut down. But unfortunately for Paradox, it seems they weren't able to file a copyright complaint on a stream happening in Russia on a Russian website. Although Grisha has, since this, been banned from streaming Koi 4 on Twitch, so whenever he streams it, he just gets like a copyright strike from Paradox.
Mm-hmm.
But following Paradox's PR manager tweeting, "You wonder why I'm a jaded human," as a result of this, Grisha would taunt him in response on Discord, saying,
"Hoi4 community manager malding that he can't do anything to stop me from using Hoi4 as a Russian propaganda tool."
For those unaware, malding is a portmanteau of mad and balding.
Yeah, well, stop talking about me.
But how the fuck did this happen? My first thought was that his mother was involved, as she seems, you know, fairly pro-Putin. And while a Russian news organization reported that she was rather enthusiastic about her son's decision to go down to Wagner HQ, she also claims he decided to do it himself. This is in line with Krisha's story when I asked him how he got involved with Wagner Group.
"A month after they opened, I just walked up to the reception desk of PMC Wagner Center and I asked for director of social media. She came in and I asked if I could stream in the center, told them I do gaming slash patriotic content mainly for English speaking audience. Then they ran a security check on me, which I successfully passed. After it, they allowed me to do a stream there." That security check by just watching him scream, like dressed in like full attire. Okay, seems okay, seems stable.
Grisha would do a couple streams at the Wagner HQ over the span of a few months. Generally, these were quote-unquote charity streams, whose purpose was to raise quote-unquote donations for the Russian war effort. When I asked him if he's done anything else with Wagner, in his message, he also noted that he completed a, quote, FPV pilot course there, FPV presumably being a first-person view drone. This does seem to be believable, as there was news in July of this year that Wagner was, quote, seeking to recruit gamers with no combat experience to fly as drone operators in Africa and Ukraine. But it's rather interesting that an either 16 or 17-year-old was getting trained for drone warfare here, as the story surrounding the Wagner gamer recruitment had a minimum age requirement of 23. Also, as a side note, I checked back on my Discord messages with Grisha after I'd copied them down, and noticed that an hour or so after he sent me this message, he edited the end of it related to him telling me he did a drone piloting course at Wagner, to instead say he's only streamed at Wagner and done, quote, nothing else I could speak of.
Oh, damn. Grisha, you checked in with your buddies?
He had to edit out the drone part.
We're getting you in trouble with Wagner.
I mean, I'm sorry, Grisha. If you say something to me on the record and don't even try to retract it, but just like edit the message and hope I won't notice, like I'm going to include it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, she can see the past edits.
These are the rules of engagement, friend.
The rules of journalism.
The battlefield of truth and knowledge.
This budding influencer relationship with Russia's most infamous mercenary group would really lead Grisha down a dark place politically. No longer looking up to Hoi4 content creators, he now had a group of surprisingly influential people in Russian politics within his proximity. It was, in a certain extent, no longer a LARP. Well, he was still certainly LARPing as an influential political slash military figure in his games, but somehow this LARP managed to give him an actual glimpse of people with military influence. Following the first stream at Wagner HQ, Grisha made a post on Discord with an attached photo that shows an older man looking over Grisha's shoulder as he plays a Hoi4 simulation of Russia invading Ukraine. The message reads,
"At everyone, today I was asked by the deputy of Gosduma about the simulation made on my streams regarding Ukraine-Russian conflict and what is my advice to the command as of right now. I replied with, use tactical nuclear warheads to save manpower and secure fast advance." Okay, so...
thanks, Grisha.
Thank you, buddy. Okay, so we've got a 17-year-old telling like a Russian intel guy, you should nuke. That's just fantastic.
Well, I have no knowledge of the 450 or so deputies of the Russian parliament. Asking Grisha about who the man was gave me the name Deputy Dmitry Kuznetsov, a member of the State Duma Defense Committee. And that does seem to look like him, so I don't think he was lying about that.
You know what? I now understand why their invasion has been so fucking shit. You know? It's like, if you're getting the Hoi4 guys, the 17-year-olds playing Hoi4 and being like, well, what do you think we should do? You really are leading a great group of minds.
People do, like, online have the joke that, like, Russia is using Hoi4 brain. Because, like, the way that the game simulates military combat, like, bigger state beats smaller state. Like, if you simulated the Vietnam War, it'd be like, America destroys them. But there's a lot of, like, nuanced elements of warfare that can't be included in these sort of simulations.
Do they mod in a NATO raising many money?
Yeah, you don't add in. Yeah, you can't add in, like, the AI is unable to decipher, like, this troop scared. Run away.
a small glimpse of Jake if he were a troop. Oh, this troop had diarrhea down the pant leg. Run away. His name, Jake Rokatansky.
This troop thought they were going to training exercise, not full-fledged war.
Fuck.
Further elaborating on Grisha's conversation with a member of the Russian state Duma, he told me,
he asked me if my simulations in-game could be applied to IRL, and what is my advice to the command as of right now? To which I replied that they could be if properly modified, and my advice for command was, suppress enemy anti-air systems in order to secure skies for strategic bombers and rockets. After that, bomb out railways and important choke points in the western Ukraine to halt the flow of NATO weaponry into Ukraine, and as Ukraine has lost majority of its production capacity, we would be able to start grinding their military without them having any ability to reinforce losses in equipment.
Yes, and one more important piece of advice.
Okay, so first you open the command prompt and just add troop.
Yeah, one more important advice. Upgrade your RAM. gigabytes, not enough. This operation very CPU heavy.
That okay. would explain it, though. That would explain it. If all the generals are, like, getting, like, 8 frames per second, you know, like, that's... No wonder they suck.
They're like, on my screen, it looks like troops have not even moved yet, and yet it's saying all troops casualties. I don't understand.
We really do not mean to...
You must hardwire your internet. Hardwire, not Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi spotty.
Do not mean to make light of this conflict, obviously, and know that there are real stakes for real people. However, we are exploring a very stupid aspect of
Yes,
it,
and so we are leaning into the stupid
so
that everybody can chuckle along at how dumb this whole thing really is.
And the Russian military command is very dumb and bad. That's also...
Yeah, we're making fun of them, okay? Well, all right, little foot? Hey, Littlefoot,
no.
I don't want to hear you going to none of your friends saying that anything you found in the episode was offensive, okay? Capiche?
People are saying you're saying it's problematic on Twitter.
Littlefoot, here's the deal. If you got a bone to pick, you take it up with Julian Field, okay? Jake Rokatansky, Travis View, and Liv Agar, they had nothing to do with this, all right? They're clean.
First of all, you were Littlefoot previously talking to Ducky, and now you're talking to Littlefoot.
Well, he got pulled by the higher ups, the guys in New York.
Okay.
But all of this is nothing compared to him being able to meet with the leader of the Wagner group itself, Yevgeny Prigozhin.
Oh, no. My recommendation is that you don't get on that plane, Mr. Prigozhin.
On April 4th, Grisha would upload a photo of him and Prigozhin to his Telegram.
Oh, my God. Yep, that's him.
That's him.
Good old Prigozhin.
Yep.
Prigozhin looks like... There's this old French TV show that's like a reality TV show called Fort Boyard, where this is like the bald guy who like holds the keys to this game show prison on an island, and he looks a lot like him. Kind of a classic bald key holder guy. And, you know, hey, rest in peace, Mr. Prigozhin, as I've known him in our short time together.
The caption of this post mentions that while Grisha is very happy to meet Prigozhin, he was sad it was, quote, under such circumstances. When I asked Grisha about this, he elaborated.
I met him at the site where terror bombing recently occurred and resulted in death of military journalist Vladlen Tatarsky. I came in for his lecture with my mother on the day bombing happened. Fortunately, I was called up for work and left roughly 20 minutes before bomb went off. Although my mother stayed, she luckily did not get injured. I only had a chance to see him twice. He visited PMC Wagner Center not long after the bombing, exactly when I was celebrating my birthday in it. Since PMC Wagner Center employees knew that my birthday got screwed over because of the bombing, they made me a cake, giving photo. So, he's a 17-year-old. He's like, man, this bombing that cost a bunch of lives really screwed over my birthday. I wanted cake. God.
Grisha is talking about a real bombing that happened on the 2nd of April this year that killed one person, the Russian propagandist Tatarsky, and injured 42.
Oh, the one with like where they use like a figurine or something, like a little statuette?
I think so, yeah. It was in the cafe or whatever.
Yeah, that was wild. That was wild.
The explosion happened in a cafe, which was owned by Prigozhin, and the quote-unquote lecture that Grisha attended was presumably a discussion group of the Cyber Z Front, a loose association of online pro-Russian propagandists. One of the so-called charity live streams Grisha did for Wagner in August was with Russian mercenary Evgeny Raskazov, also known as Topaz. They seem to have developed some sort of familiarity, with Grisha presumably looking up to someone who's actually seen combat. When asked about his relationship with Topaz and other Wagner members, Grisha said,
"He is a pal of mine who I streamed with and gathered money together for equipment to buy for Russian soldiers. Yeah, I met plenty of people who had been through a lot with the group, but they are not public figures."
Unfortunately, Topaz is also a leading figure in the Rusich neo-Nazi paramilitary group. In 2022, he wished Hitler a happy birthday, and also talked about how he gets sexually aroused by killing people in combat in Ukraine.
Oh, God.
So, Grisha's kind of enamorment for, like, actually being involved in military power conflicts has led him into friendships with some unsavory groups.
Liv's episodes are a new type of genre that I dub dissociative horror.
As some of you may remember, though, the last few months have not gone well for the Wagner paramilitary group Grisha had partnered with. Following tensions between Russian military command and Wagner related to the Ukrainian invasion, Prigozhin ordered his mercenaries to leave the front and march on Moscow in an attempted coup against Putin. While this coup obviously failed, initially Prigozhin seemingly only faced exile as a punishment. But in late August of 2023, he would mysteriously die in a plane crash. And Grisha was rather devastated by this. He would go live on Twitch on the same day with the stream title, "It's Zover."
Oh, no. This is like Russian nationalist you.
It is. Yeah. It really is.
Oh, no.
It's so Zover for you, Liv.
It's so Zover.
It's so Zover for you, Liv. As a person contributing to this podcast and an online figure in general after this episode comes out.
Well, you can't hear it in clips. Grisha is crying in his dimly lit room, and at one point in the stream, even kisses a framed photo he has of the two of them.
Oh my God.
What? Jesus Christ.
I mean, listen, I mean, the United States is one of the most, you know, militaristic countries in history, but I can't imagine someone having a picture of, like, Eric Prince on their desk and kissing it.
That's because Eric Prince would never be blown out of the sky, dude.
That's true. Here's a clip of the stream. And the music, by the way, was added by Grisha himself. Must be wanted, must be called to your ass, but I need Jake to tell you that I love you and never rest.
So this is just a teenager crying on camera.
Essentially.
Wow.
On Grisha's Telegram, he would post a poetic eulogy for the man, which translated crudely into English reads,
"If you believe in the transmigration of souls, then somewhere in the Siberian taiga, a strong brown bear cub was born, or in Africa, a giraffe." Today we can say, "Uncle Zenya, choose who you want to be now. You are crying? Listen. Far away, on Lake Chad. Exquisite. A giraffe wanders."
Powerful stuff.
What is going on? What is going on?
I have such a headache from trying to process all of this. Like, I actually, this information has actually made me physically ill.
I don't know what's happening anymore.
I'm gonna have to take two Advil.
So bad. Imagining Prigozhin as a giraffe in fucking Lake Chad while he's crying on Uncle Zenya. Oh.
Ay, ay, ay.
Grisha has since continued to do occasional live streams on Twitch and the Russian site VKontakte, although he's been prevented by Paradox from streaming any Hearts of Iron 4 related content, as they are obviously very against their game being used as a tool for military recruitment. According to him, he has raised, quote, over half a million rubles for Russian soldiers and civilians in these streams, which equates to, at the moment at least, a bit over $5,000. On Reddit, Grisha has said he's interested in pursuing a political career. And while it seems he's still in Russia's equivalent of secondary schooling, he also tried to get accepted into a police academy, although he did a post about how he was rather discouraged about the fact that he failed. It seems like for Grisha, his connection with Wagner has been a way for him to feel like he's actually involved in real global political conflicts, as opposed to merely LARPing online. And the attention he received LARPing has, oddly enough, got him some real taste of people who have actual influence in global affairs. As an example of his general attitude, he posted this on Discord following a recent coup attempt in the Republic of Congo.
At everyone, breaking, military coup in Congo at this moment. Congo borders the Central African Republic, where there is a strong Russian presence. Prigozhin, please, I hope it's your thing.
I joined Grisha's Discord server last week in hopes of finding more information about his general political opinions and Wagner-related activities he may have participated in. When I joined, he immediately recognized me and sent me a message asking why I joined his server.
See, this is another example of you making very poor choices in the process of getting an episode.
Look, I should have just used a burner or something, but I was like, okay. Grisha Putin will not know who I am.
It's me, Liv. Hello, Grisha. This should be fine.
I noticed that following me joining, he seemed to almost immediately wipe the message history of his public chat channels as well.
Mm.
But I figured he was fairly enthusiastic about being interviewed in general, so I should ask him some questions, which I've peppered throughout this episode. Interestingly, turns out Grisha hadn't recognized me, as he elaborated.
I just check out people who join server, and I rapidly checked out your social media, found no activities on either YT or Twitch, so went to Twitter, and since I am familiar with QAnon, I got interested. Oh boy.
What Grisha's opinions of QAnon are, I can't be sure, but looking on the Discord, he seems to have a generally socially and politically right-wing perspective. One example I can remember is of him sharing some fake viral video of a teacher tearing down a pride flag being held over a map of America.
Okay, so that is fake.
Yes, yeah. To which Grisha said something akin to, if someone did that for my country, I would also tear the flag down or whatever.
Okay, well, it's fake, Grisha, so you're an idiot.
Yes. I'm going off memory now because in the days following me joining the server and Grisha answering some questions for me, he either kicked or banned me from his Discord. So,
yes.
I'm not going back, yes. There, unfortunately.
Well, once you realize you're socializing with the enemy, wait, this girl has a strange history. Let me look into it. Oh, dear God. Oh, no. What have I done?
Although, I don't know, Grisha does seem generally happy to answer, like, interview questions, so who knows if we would have done it anyways, but...
Yeah, he's 17-year-old. Yeah, he, like, loves attention.
Well, there's certainly more that Paradox could do to curtail the use of their games as a means for radicalization. It really seems to me like the central conceit of the game, of Hearts of Iron 4, is just doomed to continually cause shit like this to happen. Whether it's through mods or the base game itself, it's an opportune environment for the far right to proliferate under the cover of ironic LARPing.
Say goodbye to your 1,400-hour games, Liv. Like, you're critiquing them now on your podcast? This is not good for you.
I'm canceling the things I do in my spare time.
Yeah, you're just trying to get your life back is what you're doing. Yeah. If you could get Paradox shut down.
It's problematic is why. I've deleted it off my hard drive. There are a couple more stories like this which come out of the community, but I thought these two were potentially the most insane and far-reaching. Although, given that the game still has a lively community, I'm sure there will be more like them in the future.
Wow. I don't know what to say. Beautiful episode, as per usual.
Thank you.
Yeah. You should. Next time you join a server like that, you have to add a big Z at the end of your name, like Livz.
Livz Agar.
Liv Agarz. Liv, where can people find you and, you know, how can they target you?
I have a new newsletter that I'm writing at livagar.com. It's generally about kind of political, philosophical events, cultural criticism, that sort of thing. So please go read my newsletter, go subscribe, etc.
Do it, folks. livagar.com. Thank you for listening to another premium episode of the QAA podcast. We have a website. It's QAnonAnonymous.com.
Littlefoot, until next week, don't get clipped.
It's not a conspiracy, it's fact.
And now, today's auto-cue.
In the 26th century, mankind faces an epic struggle for survival. The forces of nature have spun wildly out of control. Mighty cities have crumbled, and the dinosaurs have returned to reclaim the earth. In this savage land, one man stands alone, Jack Tenrek. Defending humanity in a world gone mad. A world where only the strong survive. A world of Cadillacs and dinosaurs.